Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad, your host and founder of Product Innovation Educators, where product managers become product masters. To see how, get the Product Mastery Roadmap at theeverydayinnovator.com. This episode of The Everyday Innovator is the most uncomfortable one I've done. That is because instead of me playing my normal role of interviewer, I am the one being interviewed by another product management podcast host who's doing a great job. While a bit uncomfortable for me, it was a lot of fun. You'll want to listen because we discussed the specific way product managers increase their success rate developing products customers love and at the same time increasing their career success. Get the details of this discussion, including a summary and the full transcript at theeverydayinnovator.com/058. Let's get started. Alan, I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Chad. It's a real pleasure for me. I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time, so I feel honored to be with the doctor tonight.
Well, it was so nice of you to reach out and connect with me. So I want to give a proper introduction for you, everyone listening. So Alan Neal is the host of Ready Product Radio, where he's interviewing great people in product management, and I just love that. I love that we're both in the part of the product management community, and that this is a great another free resource for product managers to learn additional information to excel in their careers. Alan's been in product management for 20 years. You live in Canada, and I'm sure people will want to go check out your podcast for sure. It's Ready Product Radio. And likely, I expect if I asked you which one was your favorite, you would say they all were. But of the interviews that you've done, what would be a good one for people to go check out first?
Yeah, that's a good question, Chad. And yeah, it's like the children, right? Which one is your favorite?
That's it.
So yeah, we did do, and I say we, it's really me. I did do what I called a mixtape recap, episode number 15. So I suggest people look at that. And it was basically snippets from all of my 2015 interviews. So that certainly is a good taster if people want to check out the podcast and the type of guests that we have on there.
Excellent. And if they were listening to this through iTunes, just search for Ready Product Radio?
That's right. Yeah, Ready Product Radio, and they should be able to find it, no problem.
Excellent. And episode 15 is a good one, and I'm going to do that myself and go listen to your recap. I haven't caught that yet.
Excellent.
And listeners, this is a little bit of a different twist on this interview. Alan had reached out to me about being a guest on his podcast, and we had set that up and then thought, you know, actually, why don't we turn it around a little bit and go ahead and host it here so that everyday innovators can learn about Alan's podcast too. But instead of me interviewing, he's going to interview me, which really puts me in a different light. So we'll see how this works. Alan, I'll hand over host job to you.
Excellent. So welcome everybody to The Everyday Innovator. This is Alan Neal, your host. And today we have a guest, Chad McAllister. And Chad, what I usually do with my podcast is I usually have three or four topics that I ask my guests. So what I thought I'd go over with you today is, you know, talk about how you got into product management. That's always interesting for folks. Talk about when you started training other product managers. And then get into this concept that is really interesting of yours, which is becoming product masters, because I'm sure we've got a lot of people out there that want to take their product management to the next level. So that sounds very interesting. And then always good to give some you know, lessons learned and some advice to up and comers. So we'll wrap it up with a question about, you know, what do you wish somebody had pulled you aside and taught you when you were first starting out as a product manager? Do those topics sound good, Chad?
Sounds like great questions. Good plan.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's jump in with the first one then, Chad. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into product management?
Okay, so first off, this is kind of weird for me because I'm not used to being interviewed on my podcast, but I really appreciate Alan. I was an engineering student, originally electrical engineering, and when I graduated from college, had a few different opportunities come my way, and I decided to join a small company that I had done some part-time work for while I was still a college student. And by small, we had an office in the Washington, D.C. area of about 100 people, And then I joined a group in Colorado, and I was employee number four. So, you know, definitely small. And the great thing about being employee number four is you get to learn everything that goes on, right? So it was a good experience. Within about 6 months, we tripled in size. And even though I joined as an electrical engineer doing engineering work, the company was evolving quickly to become a software company. And programming is not my strength. I took those required programming classes in college and knew a lot of languages, but I'm not the kind of guy that should be sitting down programming, you know, 8 hours plus a day. But I went along with the ride, right? And really enjoyed figuring out what a problem was that we needed to provide some, you know, software solution to, and got it was just such a blessing. This little group I was with, we got in the situation where we became responsible for developing prototypes. And so our job in life was to meet with customers, find out what the problem was, and quickly create a prototype for a new product to solve their problem, right? Mm-hmm. And in that process, I also did a lot of demonstrations of product concepts and got pretty good at that. And along the way, I had this, what I really think back on as a defining moment. And it was working with a group of potential customers from the U.S. government. And I was sent out to be in their environment for a week just to learn what they did, right? Basically just to watch them and learn about the problems they encountered. Because the next week, I was supposed to be doing a product demonstration of a product concept that another company was creating. So it's kind of one of these weird situations that I was demonstrating the other company's product, but I was supposed to learn the context of their problem so I could demonstrate it better, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not exactly sure what transpired, but I kind of feel like the other company hung me out to dry. In the end, they never sent me anything to demonstrate, and I kind of saw that this handwriting on the wall, that this wasn't going to happen. So I spent the week really embedded with this group and just seeing what they did, right? What their tasks were, what the problems were they were trying to solve, and getting appreciation for what they needed. And then over the weekend, because I was, you know, single, off away on this business trip and didn't have any reason to come home, I had a computer with me and actually went and rented this little bungalow on the beach of the East Coast. And I couldn't even tell you which town I was near offhand, but it was a good place to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I just started putting together a prototype and was using, again, programming not my strength. I was right. using a multimedia authoring tool, basically a glorified user interface builder mm-hmm. called Gain Momentum that Sybase made available. And you could do a lot of application development actually inside Gain Momentum. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of used that environment a little bit. And I put together a prototype over the weekend of what a solution could look like for these potential customers. And then did the demonstrations the following week, and that was just a raving success. I hit the pain point well for the problem and then what the solutions were for the customers, and just learned a lot about, not at the time at all, but in reflecting about it later, went, wow, that was, you know, basically ethnographic research. I was doing user observations and just trying to understand their problem from their terms. And then bring my perspective as kind of the designer in this case to it of how we might provide a solution. That was a good defining moment. I really enjoyed that experience. And then I just did more of that sort of thing, right? Working closely with customers, leading product teams to create solutions for them. And did that in small companies, saw that company grow some, did it in big global companies and a few startups along the way too. Mm-hmm. There's one other aspect, Alan, in all this that I was thinking about, which is my learning that was going on during this. And I think this is reflective of what a lot of product managers run into is, you know, I had my own struggles along the way, right? So the first thing I ran into was I was helping to lead the software team to develop a product, a solution, and not knowing a lot about what that involved, right? So first thing, I was just diving into books and places I could get information on system development life cycles and how do you manage a software team and how do you just do a better job actually motivating them to be creative and to get you know, the software built. Mm-hmm. And that led me to project management and I got involved with the Project Management Institute to just learn more about what are projects, right, and how do we manage them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been involved with PMI?
No, I haven't. I love project managers because I've always disliked doing that myself. So I really admire those that can manage projects well.
It's great when you're a product manager and you have a good project manager to take care of that part of work for you.
Definitely.
But that was just part of my learning process. And that was really valuable. We were doing a better job of managing projects, thankfully, because I got some of that knowledge that I needed. But it wasn't the complete picture yet. There were still pieces missing. And I'm really kind of the accidental product manager because I never knew this thing existed until I learned what I could in the body of knowledge of project management, recognized there were still pieces missing of what I was doing, and that led me to go just look for another professional organization. I had a good experience from PMI. Let's find another one. And I discovered PDMA, which is the Product Development and Management Association.
Right.
And got involved with them, and actually at the time was trying to get involved with the chapter in Denver, Colorado, which was close to me. And the chapter wasn't doing too well at the time. And oddly enough, a few of us just all showed up at the same time with the same desire. So there were about five of us that showed up, and we created a new board for that chapter and took it over. And in 6 months, we were back to having 40 to 60 people regularly attend, which was just great. But PDMA really helped me learn about what it meant to be a product manager. And the mix of all this, I got fascinated with a problem I wanted to study more deeply. And I had already earned a graduate degree in electrical engineering and had done a lot of MBA sort of work. And returning to school was nowhere on my list of interest at all. That's not how I wanted to spend my time. But I really got caught up in this issue of why do we misunderstand requirements some of the time, you know? And so sometimes we do a really good job of developing a product that meets the customer's needs and wants, and they love it. And other times we think we really know what we're supposed to be doing, and yet we deliver the product and the customer goes, no, that misses the mark. That doesn't really help me, right? And we do the same sort of thing each time, and we think that this should work out, at least in my case. So I got fascinated with this problem, and one thing led to another, and that drove me back to school. I ended up getting a PhD in innovation so I could study that issue more deeply. And that was a good, interesting experience all by itself. That's kind of the story of how I got into and what I've done in product management.
Yeah, and that's a good explanation. When I first started listening to your podcast, Chad, I always wondered if you were a doctor, what were you doing talking about innovation and product management? Shouldn't you be out saving lives and, and performing operations? But now I understand it's a doctor of innovation.
There's a classic line in a movie, and I wish I could remember which movie it was. It's probably been used more than once, actually. But it's like, and I use this some of the time, too, which says, no, I'm not the kind of doctor that does any good, right? In my case, I do help companies and people at times be more innovative, but
yeah, the product doctor.
That's right.
Well, that's good, Chad. And just to you know, mirror some of what you're saying, I too kind of fell into product management by accident. Depending on my mood on any given day, I either think about it to say they wanted to get me away from the code because I was a developer, so they put me someplace where I couldn't do any damage. But on my happier days, I think, no, it was my communication skills and ability to speak with both engineers and business executives that carried the day. But
absolutely.
Good stuff. Good background there. So
the interesting thing about that, Alan. When I've done at least at that point in my life, when I did the Myers-Briggs temperament assessment.
Right.
One of the dimensions is extrovert or introvert, right?
Yep.
And really, this comes down to not how outgoing you are, but where you find your energy, right? And introverts working by yourself, you find energy, versus extroverts really find energy in group settings. And in college, when I took this first, I was as far as you can get on that introvert scale. Yet, I find enjoyment in working with customers and understanding their problems, so then I can go off and work by myself because I have to do that some as an introvert, and then working with a team to help solve their problem. So, and I just put that plug out real quick. I don't know if you know where you are on that scale, but it's not just, introverts can do these sort of things too.
Yeah. So I've taken that quite a few times, and I've taken it over my lifetime. So I'm pretty squarely in my mind an INTP. So So yeah, definitely introverted. Definitely more on the intuitive side, and you know, thinking and perceiving. So I think that describes a lot of product managers, and as I'm sure you know. You can learn to be outgoing, and you can learn to be engaging, because like you say, it's about the ability to crawl back in your cave at the end of a day of that to recharge your batteries, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what are you then? What Myers-Briggs type are you?
I'm an ISTJ.
Ah, okay.
And oddly enough, the NP element that you are used to drive me batty. So when I would be on Teams, NP people were the ones that I would look at them and go, how can you possibly have that perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And it was only after really going through a really good high-quality Myers-Briggs instrument that the Center for Creative Leadership did that I really appreciated this more. And after that, I sought out MPs because they helped me think differently and bring better solutions to the table.
Yeah, and our society does favor and does reward E's, right? And it does reward J's, right? So definitely us, you know, INTP people, you know, we're a little in the background, you know, but that's great. So let's move on to our second topic, Chad. So that's how you got into product management. So when did you start actually training other product managers?
Yeah, this frankly was also somewhat accidental. In about 2006, I was finishing up the PhD work, and also around this time had got involved with PDMA. The group of us that were helping with this chapter in Denver, we wanted to understand what PDMA meant by product management. And they had a certification called the New Product Development Professional, the NPDP. And we said, well, why don't we study for that, earn that, and then we'll at least have an idea what they think of as in terms of the body of knowledge that's important. And that pulled together six knowledge areas, business and product strategy, product development process, portfolio management, leading teams and people, project and product tools and metrics, and then market and customer research is how they box those six categories. And that was so incredibly helpful to have a framework to think about the activities that take place inside of product development and product management. Mm-hmm. In that process, one of my friends that was involved, Lynn Van Arstel, she created this pilot study group program to help the next group of people get ready for the certification they wanted to. And this was a face-to-face sort of deal. The group met mostly face-to-face, but they might have done some things over the phone. But they met once a week for a couple of hours for 13 weeks and got prepared to do the test. Mm-hmm. And then the group kind of evolved, and I became responsible for education, VP of education for the chapter. And the main thing there is helping with this certification deal. And we were using other options. We had some people, an external group that was helping with some training. And in 2008, you know, the economy fell apart. And we had a pretty decent sized study group that we had 14 people that wanted to learn the materials and get certified as an MPDP. The way that we had been doing it by bringing in the external folks was just way too expensive. And of those 14 people that wanted to do it, only one had a company that was actually reimbursing them for their time. And half of them were unemployed, right? So this became a pain point. So I just evolved that study group program we had and did it as a virtual experience instead. And we met by phone an hour a week for 6 weeks and then turned it into an e-course. So it's online, so it's more self-paced now. And other chapters have done that, and other people outside of PDMA have used the materials still to learn. And that's that's how I just fell into helping people learn more about product management. And there's another professional group I found a lot of value in too, AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketers and Managers.
Yep.
And they'd actually approached me and a colleague about helping them develop the concept for a new certification, the Certified Innovation Leader, and helped them with that. And that just, you know, these experiences together, I think, just resulted in some people calling time to look at face-to-face workshops and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then with that PhD in hand, that opened some doors in the world of education, and I have ended up teaching product and innovation management courses for Colorado State University, Boston University, and Walden University.
Good. So when you were just starting in terms of training other product managers, like you weren't doing that as your day job at that point in time?
No, not at all.
You're still working? Okay.
Yeah. I'm still working as a product manager.
Yeah. So when did you transition? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of do this your own gig, you know, so to speak, full time now. So when did you transition to say, listen, I don't want to just do this kind of as my hobby or my way of giving back, but as my main occupation? When did you make that transition?
Yeah, there's a few hats I wear. What I typically say my day hat is the university professor role, and so my day job is primarily focused on teaching courses around product and innovation management, some project management, some general business and leadership, and then I have been continuing this product management training practice. And as time goes on, I'm enjoying doing more of that and teaching courses a little bit less. What has been really rewarding is getting that phone call from people that have gone through product management training and just what a big difference it made. And one stands out to me. This is George Farkas. He was, I think, on my episode 5 interview. He is a CEO of a battery management company. It's Joey Energy. But if you have a backpack that has a energy management system built in for your laptop or your cell phone to charge them up, good chance Joey Energy is who made that happen. And I was just blown away that one day he called me out of the blue and talked to me for half an hour about what a difference learning about, and in his case, it was through the MPDP materials.
Right.
But what a difference that has made to him in leading his company and developing new products. And I just love hearing those stories and seeing how getting some of these concepts under your belt really has transformed people's influence in their organizations.
Yeah. Because, a lot of times you can be handed the job and it's just terrifying, right? Because there's so many facets to it and so many expectations, and you're working with so many stakeholders that, it's really awesome to have some kind of framework and some kind of teachers like yourself to guide you through it. Because if anything, it reduces your panics level, right? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. So let's talk about this next piece then. So you say you have this phrase that you use where you help product managers become product masters. So talk to us a little bit about what a product master is and how one becomes one. Is this like a kung fu master where it's a black belt in product management, or what's the product master all about?
Yeah, you can think of it as kind of belt levels. Just okay. Seems to get overdone. So, didn't really want to go with the green belt, in procession. But, so this is kind of that dinner cocktail experience, right? When you're talking to new people and they say, so what do you do, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to say, I train product managers. Usually the conversation stops at that point. But, or sometimes I say, well, what does that mean? Right. And then I might add, I help people and companies create products that customers actually want and love. They go, oh, okay, at least that's a little more interesting. And then if they ask, how do you do that? Well, I needed some concrete way of talking about how I actually do that. And this was one of the factors that kind of led to creating this thing that I call the Product Mastery Roadmap. And anyone that wants the visual, what this looks like, and wants to download this, you certainly can. It's at theeverydayinnovator.com. And you'll just find a button on that homepage to get the roadmap, and you can download it and look at it. So I'll just walk through the diagram. I call it my light bulb diagram because the four levels towards mastery, I used a light bulb to just illustrate those. What I want to do is intercept the average product manager and help them really become more confident in the work they're doing and work towards mastery. The average product manager is outside this framework, but they come into this, and being average, that means most product managers are average. And I use a metric to refer to that. And that is that they, the average is developing for every 10 good ideas we have that go into a product development process, we get one market winner out, one that's actually successful. And that metric is admittedly squishy. It really depends on what research you look at and what where you are. But it's a reasonable number. You'll find numbers that are higher than that, that we actually do a worse job. Mm-hmm. And you'll find some pretty credible research that says the real number is around 40%. But what matters is all the research in this area of how successful we are. And I just use the phrase, you know, developing the right products more often is what we're after, right? Products that people actually want, the right products. Regardless of how successful we actually are where we start, we know that by applying the right practices and for the context, that you can do significantly better, that you can, you know, double your performance, 2x it, 4x it, even 5x your performance.
Right.
First level towards mastery, I call it just the competent level. Typically, product managers, as you said before, a lot of time when we're new to this, we kind of feel overwhelmed. And that's the key thing. They're coming in and feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to focus on. Mm-hmm. And by becoming competent, learning the base knowledge that is necessary, even already you can 2x building the right products more often. And I call that build your base. And then the next level up towards mastery is becoming proficient. Mm-hmm. And the key issue there often is product managers are feeling frustrated because they got into product management typically for two big reasons. One is they wanted to build products customers love. The second one was they wanted to have more influence in the organization and over the product strategy in general.
Right.
And a lot of product managers find out they don't have the influence they expected, right? Mm-hmm. And they get frustrated as time goes on. And what the proficient level about is really earning that professional respect and the professional credibility. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned kind of my own path, which is what I apply there, which is you earn that professional credibility by going through the trouble of getting certified, right? And there's different avenues to go, but the you know what PDMA does and what AIPMM does are really good options. And it's not just that you can say you're certified, it's that you've actually gone deeper to learn concepts. Also, you had to demonstrate that you actually knew them by passing a rigorous exam. Mm-hmm. But then you're at this level, you're already, now you're on your way to more often developing the right products. Mm-hmm. Third level up, I call expert. And this is where you are. You're having influence in the organization. You're developing products. You're leading other people in product management. And at times you feel constrained. That's kind of the key issue. And you feel constrained because there's just pockets of knowledge that you need, and you usually need it right now and as fast as you can. And typically you need it because you have to teach it to someone else. The solution there I call just applying just-in-time deep dives, focused training that addresses a specific issue you have. Like, you know, our roadmapping process isn't working well. We need to do a better job roadmapping, right? Or maybe even things might be a little bit broader. You know, design thinking is not something we've brought into the organization, and I need to get my hands around this quickly and see if it fits for us or not.
Right.
Specific problems, questions you have. Then we get to the final level, which is that product master. And this isn't for all product managers. You know, a lot of product managers will move up and become experts in their organization. They'll have deep influence in the organization. They'll be solving business problems and creating business opportunities and really fulfilled in their careers and having really meaningful impact. Mm-hmm. But the thing I get so excited about product managers, we are in a very unique role inside any organization that I don't know exists anywhere else in the organization. And that's because we work so cross-functionally, right? Mm-hmm. When you actually have been a product manager for a while, you get to this point where you truly are an expert. You have earned some deep respect. You have deep influence in the organization. And you have this cross-functional view. And you get to see the organization much more as a system than really anyone else in the organization does. And in many cases, anyone else. Most executives tend to be more functionally siloed, especially if they're VP of something. So even you have to get up to the C-suite, and even then the people that got to the C-suite, they got there typically from a functional, you know, role, right? So the VP of sales or the CIO became the CEO or something, right?
Yep.
It's the product manager that has this unique perspective of being so cross-functional, because we have to be, that is really uniquely equipped to help the organization as a whole. So this last transition step, moving from expert to master, is really about not, now you're making the change from products being much more successful to the organization itself being much more successful.
Right.
There, you're learning how to transform the organization as a whole. And what's so exciting about this is for people that are driven, that want to become those executives in organizations, this is a great path, right? And and you can start those things that you have to do to transform an organization as a whole. You can start that anywhere, actually, right? You start leading your own groups that you influence and just have this bigger kind of systems perspective. But this is certainly transforming an organization is pretty meaty stuff. And there's a person I've partnered with that is a true expert in that area that has helped many organizations do that. He's done the research to really understand what needs to be done. And he's written the books on it. So there's good help out there for doing those things too. But I think overall, this picture, this framework, the product mastery roadmap is, as I've talked to product managers about it, it paints a good picture for them to know that they're not just a cog in the system, you know, not one piece that really doesn't have much influence, but there is a clear path that you can gain influence over time and make a big difference and recognize that this is a really unique role. There are not other people that are so cross-functionally involved. And all of this starts with that first level, what I call build your base. That's where you become competent. To do that, there's the four kind of key topics you need to get under your belt. Can I talk through those real quick with us?
Yeah. Go for it.
And I use an acronym to make this easy to remember, IDEA. So I call this build your base level the IDEA framework. Mm-hmm. And the I is ideate. And this is where you're basically trying to uncover those ideas that can turn into valuable products, but doing it in such a way that it's aligned to the organizational strategy and then really driving your innovation strategy. And those are elements that are often get left out of the perspective of product managers, but makes them much more effective and more influential by connecting those dots to organizational strategy. Mm-hmm. D is develop. And this is a structured approach to actually developing our product and making it real, whether it's a tangible product we can touch or an intangible product that it's a service for our customers. Mm-hmm. E is evolve, and this is where we're preparing for launch, doing the launch, and then managing that product throughout its life in the marketplace, right? Fending off the competitors, responding to our customers' needs as they change, and ultimately, you know, managing the product as it declines because of those external factors, and then managing the retirement of the product from the marketplace. And then the A in IDEA is accelerate, and accelerate is about those activities that just make everything else we did, the IDE, everything else more effective and efficient. Things like portfolio management and team management, project management, lean thinking practices, the right metrics, those things that just make the whole process work better.
Nice. So where is this in its own, shall we say, product life cycle, Chad? Is this, you've got the roadmap, but is there material behind this? Are there courses that people can take? What's the current lifecycle stage for this product mastery roadmap?
Yeah, sure. So as I said before, I kind of fell into the training thing. Where that started was helping with these certification programs and recognizing a lot of value there. And that's actually, you know, kind of the second level of this roadmap, the earn professional credibility. So you really can have more influence. And then I wanted to back that up, though, because a lot of people involved in product management, frankly, don't see a value in the actual certification. But and that's debatable, you know, that's certainly a reasonable perspective. But they do value the concepts and they want to get those under their belt.
Yep.
So that's why I created this IDEA framework to really teach those concepts and figure those things out. And as we talk now, I'm not sure when this will actually get produced for listeners, but as we talk now, I'm doing a pre-launch on an e-course for the IDEA framework to help people get those under their belt. But for anyone that wants to know more, the framework itself is useful to just help you think about product management in a bigger way than a lot of product managers tend to.
Yep.
Figure out some of these specifics to help your career planning. And just, you know, grab that from the everydayinnovator.com and get that download. And then if you want to look into the IDEA framework, there's information on that download about it too.
Yeah, good. One other thing I think your listeners might be asking in their own minds is how would you map this to career progression, because you said that it's not like a linear kind of mapping thing, but it can help prepare you to take on more responsibility. Like, would you say, for example, that the first two stages could be done at a product manager level, and then the third stage maybe at a director level, and then the fourth at a VP? Or is that being too linear in thinking about this?
Yeah, a linear process actually does apply. I just came to it from a different perspective, which was I was doing the certification kind of work and then really wanting it just to get the information into more people's hands. So I took it to a lower level, that build your base level in the framework. Sure. But this is meant to map to a product manager's progression through their career. Okay. And the interesting thing is I really struggled with how to characterize the starting point, which I do just talk about average product managers, because this is the reality. As I've worked with so many people in product management, most of us would be average just because of what that means. But it doesn't matter if you've been a product manager for 2 months or even 10 years. There's still people that haven't got kind of this base, which I would consider the foundation, under their belts to really help them accelerate their careers. And so I want to see people that are younger, earlier in their careers, grab a hold of this and go, okay, I can walk through my career by thinking about how to go through the levels towards mastery.
And maybe even somebody that's been doing it for 10 years, but has followed a very specific kind of path. Yeah, maybe there's a few of the fundamentals here that they want to pick up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing it helps you figure out are what questions you should be asking that you may not have thought about before, right? And open things up a little bit more.
Yeah. One more question and then we'll move on, Chad. Is there a thought here about peer support or mentorship here? Because, as you were talking, we said, the analogy of the belts is kind of hackneyed. It's been overdone. But the other one is the trades, right? So journeyman up to master carpenter, for example. And a lot of time when you get at that master level, you're spending a lot of your time actually coaching and mentoring, folks. Is that part of the thinking here as well or no?
It is. My personal experience, and sounds like yours too, is it's one thing to learn the information, but to really put it into action, you need a coach to help you out with that. Mm-hmm. And so built into at least what I'll be providing is the framework. The framework has utility all by itself, but for people that want to dive into and actually move through it, I'm providing coaching to help with that. And then there's, like I mentioned, my partner helping with the master level, has a coaching program to really help organizations transform.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Well, listen, I think we want to keep an eye on our time here. So why don't we leave that one there? Folks can find out more at theeverydayinnovator.com. And let's go to the last question. And it's one that I usually try to finish off all of my interviews on Ready Product Radio with, which is a lot of folks listening are probably younger or earlier in their career. So, based on everything that you've learned and been taught, through your journey, what advice would you tell a new product manager, advice that you wish somebody would have pulled you aside when you were starting out? What advice would you give to the new product manager that you wish you would have received when you started out?
Yeah, sure. Great question. And I'll just tie it into the context of what we've been talking about, which is learning. I came across this stat in a study a while ago that only 2% of product managers get professional training. Mm-hmm. And we contrast that to something like project management, where training is so critical and certification is almost required for a lot of positions in the world.
It is. You're
project
right.
management. Yeah. And we just haven't really seen our discipline grow up at the same speed, right, as product management. But, the people that are already listening to your podcast, Ready Product Radio, and listening now, they've already taken that step to learn more, which is great. And that's why I know, Alan, you and I, we do this in the first place, right? Because one, I suspect you're the same. I just get personal satisfaction out of being able to talk to other great people about innovation and product management. And I love sharing that information with others. And I think collectively, we're just helping to grow the profession of product management, which is incredible. The key thing I wish I would have known sooner, right? I just had this stumbling experience of, you know, learning about software management and project management and then product management. And I wish I would have known sooner that what I was doing was actually something that was called product management.
Right.
And that there's things I could have found out. Because a lot of my experience was trial and error. And, you know, thankfully it all worked out well. But, you know, there's actually books out there written on product management. And picking one of them up would be a useful thing to do as a new product manager.
That's great. So Chad, I'm going to leave it there, and now I'm going to kind of hand the hosting duties back to you, so that you can do your normal wrap up.
Well, that was fun, you know, and this was also a good experience for me to kind of walk in the shoes of one of my interviewees, to know what that's like to be interviewed.
Yeah, it's not easy, is it?
It's definitely different. Well done, Alan. Thanks for doing that.
No problem.
And since I'm wrapping up, I always like to ask my guests for an innovation quote to wrap up interviews. And I did ask you to bring one also. And what did you choose, and tell us why?
Yeah. So I chose one of my favorites. It's a quote that's attributed to Albert Einstein. And the quote is, "If I had an hour to save the world, I would spend the first 55 minutes defining the problem." And I really like that as an innovation quote, because I don't know about you, Chad, but in my career, I see a lot of a solution-oriented, product-oriented, technology-oriented folks that want to rush immediately to solutions. And, you know, as you get more experience, as you know, you and I have been at this for a while, you one of the things you learn to realize is sometimes you can get more leverage by just letting the problem kind of stew with the team, or in your head, or on your whiteboard. Just sit with the problem a little longer, and develop a little broader appreciation of it, versus just trying quickly get to the answer. I think about this in terms as well as about our education system. You see a lot of people complaining that our education system is teaching people, you know, not to think for themselves and to just look for the quick answer. So I like that quote, because I think what Einstein's telling us is the answer will come. Don't jump to it. Spend more time thinking about the problem and thinking about it deeply. So that's why I like that. I think that's a good advice for all of us.
I'm glad you brought that one. It's also one of my favorites from Einstein. And it does such a good job of shortly encapsulating the need to deeply understand the problem before we start launching out on solutions.
Exactly.
And Alan, please share how people can find out more about your podcast and find out about your work.
Excellent. So yeah, the podcast is Ready Product Radio. So that's all three words exactly as it sounds, clumptogether.com, readyproductradio.com. On Twitter, we're at RDY, ProductRadio. So the ready part is truncated there. And then always happy to have people follow me on LinkedIn. So if you go to ca.linkedin.com/in/AlanNeil, that's AllanNeil, you can see everything. I'm one of those guys that has a 50-page long LinkedIn profile. So you can see, you know, all the languages I coded in college right through to what I'm doing today. So no secrets there.
Okay, so I have to ask you, what was your first language?
In terms of programming?
Programming language, yep.
Yeah. It was BASIC.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time programming in BASIC. What about yourself?
I think that was the first one I hit, and I did a little BASIC in high school, and then oddly enough, Fortran and COBOL. And then moved into some more interesting things, you know, that were object oriented and the like, but.
Yeah. My favorite was, just to digress really quickly here, my favorite was Smalltalk in the mid-90s.
Yeah, sure.
So I spent about 5 years as a Smalltalk coder, and I just never made the leap to Java, because Smalltalk was such an elegant environment that I just was disgusted when I saw the Java programming experience. So that's when I became a product manager.
Very good. Well, Alan, I appreciate your time. For listeners, I will have all those links also in the show notes, so it would be easy to find Radio Product Radio, or just look for on iTunes, and I'll put in the links to the Twitter and LinkedIn too to contact Alan. Alan, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and thanks, Chad. This has been a real pleasure for me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The IDEA framework concepts I introduced in the interview, the framework that doubles your success as a product manager and prepares you to be a product master, well, they're available now for only $97 during the pre-launch of the e-course. The e-course begins Monday, February 22nd, 2016, and the special pre-launch offer is only available until February 21st, midnight Eastern Time Zone. The concepts in the e-course are those that I've shared with companies who have paid me more than $30,000 to train their product managers. I'm now packaging them up and also want to work with a pre-launch group to really fine-tune the concepts in the e-course format. To learn more about the IDEA Framework e-course and the special pre-launch offer, go to the show notes for this episode at theeverydayinnovator.com/058. Check it out. Registration for the e-course will not be available after February 21st. In addition to the e-course offer, the summary as well as the transcript of the interview is in the show notes at theeverydayinnovator.com/058. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training your customers will love you for. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.